Reading from the Narada Bhakti Sutras, text 68.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Samta Varodha Omar Shurubir Parasparam Lapamana Pavyanti Kulani Kativim Cha.
Translation. Conversing among one another with throats choked, hair standing on end, and tears flowing, the Lord's intimate servants purify their own followers and the whole world. One might ask, does Narada expect me to also become a great devotee and experience such ecstasy? The answer is yes. The ecstasy of devotional service is open to all. But a humble devotee may think himself unfit to experience the advanced stages of Krishna consciousness for many lifetimes. We may respond best to a sutra like this by trying to appreciate, at least slightly, the wonderful influence of the great souls who have come to this earth. This will inspire us to seek the association of the servants of the servants of such great souls, to assist them in their mission and to receive shelter from them against the world of Maya. Omigana Timanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Muttam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Shindu Vayevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Stuyvesant Falls. I just came back from a very nice weekend in Washington, D.C. with Hari Kirtan. Very nice programs organized. And constantly see how many people are just ripe for Krishna consciousness when it's presented in a way that they could understand. Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness in a way people could understand. And the difference between his success and others is that others did not have that realization to do so, to the extent that he did. So it's nice. Hari Kirtan is doing wonderfully, introducing many people to spiritual life. It's very edifying to see that. A very easy ride. Another Kalini, Sudevi, and her sister here into the class today. But the airport there is very convenient up there in Albany. Just a simple ride down there and back, so it didn't have the same exhaustion. So, we're reading the Narada Bhakti Sutras. It's very, very wonderful because these sutras are codes. And when you read the purports and you discuss them, you kind of are able to unpack the codes. And then when you see these aphorisms of codes and you read them again, you can kind of understand just by seeing their words what's in them and what their meaning is. And it's a very comprehensive discussion of bhakti. In the previous section, we were discussing the general nature of bhakti was described and how such a person lives within the world. And then the process of devotional service gradually, if one follows the right prescription, not just because I have faith in rules, but because there's an appropriate way to serve Krishna. And there's a best way for us to serve Krishna according to our adhikari, according to our qualification. But then, in this section, it's really going to describe now what are the symptoms of one who has actually achieved devotion. And in the previous verse, the first qualification is that the person is a kantaki. A kantaki means a kantana, mukya. The top devotees, among the Lord's devotees, the mukya, the chief, are those who are exclusive. And I was mentioning in the purport, Satsrup Marcha's purport, very nice, made a very interesting point that exclusive devotional service is not narrow, because by focusing yourself on God, you are focusing your love and attention on everything. You can't love God and then hate others, because that's like on a body, kind of liking the feet and not liking the hands, or kind of say you like the body, but you don't like part of the body. So the nature of bhakti, which is described in the second sutra, which is tvasmin parama prema rup, the nature of that topmost love, parama prema rup, is to God. Because that's the most inclusive type of love. You're one-pointed and you're fixed, but what you're fixed on is everything. It's such a beautiful concept that we are part of something greater than ourselves that's worthy of our worship. It's our nature. Just like the hand. The hand is part of the body, and its nature, its duty, its dharma is to serve the desires of the body. And when you say that someone should let go, what are you letting go of? You say spiritually to someone, you should let go. Let go of what? Let go of your resistance to serving the will of God, which is the universal body, as it manifests to us in so many ways. We know the struggle. So many times we're understanding what God wants us to do, and the challenges that God puts before us. And we have to let go. Let go of what? The resistance to follow what is right. To follow the resistance to follow what our duty is. That is our struggle. And someone who is one-pointed, like the hand is one-pointed, it serves the needs of the body. It can do so many other things.
but its value and meaning is in relationship to what it is. And our value and meaning is in relationship to God. And someone who realizes that, they're just fixed in that will of God, which manifests through the scriptures, manifests through those who represent the scriptures, manifests to the through the super soul, when a person controls the bahushaka, you know, the unlimited fluctuations of the mind based on one's karma and based on one's ego. And then one becomes fixed. One surrenders to God. One accepts what one is, which is a devotee. And when you accept what you are, then you're no longer in illusion. When you want to be what you're not, which is a non-devotee, we are not non-devotees. We are devotees by nature. We're part of God by nature. But if we accept what we're not, which is a non-devotee, that desire can only be fulfilled in illusion. We have to see something that is not. I am independent from God. I am the enjoyer. I am the whole. And we have to not see something which is. That there's actually a divine absolute reality that is worthy of worship, which is the substance and basis of everything. So it all is based on desire. When you want to be what you are, then there's no problem in seeing reality. Because what we are is part of God. When we want, it's just changing that desire. As soon as we say, I want to be Krishna's devotee. I want to serve Krishna. Then you're free from the illusory energy. Because the illusory energy only comes to satisfy desires that cannot be attained in truth, in reality. That's what the illusory potency does. It satisfies a desire that is not possible by one's own nature and constitution. And what is that desire? I am the whole. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. I am independent. I am the greatest. Can't have that because that's not what you are. You can only have it in illusion. Therefore, Krishna sends his Maya to serve your desires. And then you fall into duality and fear. Because your existence is based on something which is false. It has no real substance. And when you're trying to maintain something which has no substance, it's a constant endeavor. When you accept what is reality, then there's no effort on your part. The truth is there before you. It's not dependent on you. The illusion is dependent on you. The illusion is dependent on you. Projecting a certain mindset constantly. How difficult it is actually to be the enjoyer and controller. How much effort is it to be the enjoyer and controller? It's just like telling a lie. It's really hard to maintain a lie. The truth is easy. If someone is going on a court, and someone goes to a court and he's telling the truth, there's no preparation. But if you're telling a lie, you have to maintain that lie. And you have to tell other lies. And you have to remember your lies. So in that way, sasukam kartam avyam, really, bhakti is easy. As Prabhupada said, the process is simple, the application is difficult. What we're struggling with is our heart and our desires, not our constitution. We're struggling with our heart, we're struggling with our desires, but not our constitution. Once you accept what you are and you surrender to Krishna, then life is easy. It's just the heart is against it. The process is very, very simple. It's kind of astounding that we can have everything we want right now if we want to become a devotee. If we want to become a devotee and we want to serve Krishna, then every circumstance is suitable for that endeavor. If we want to become the enjoyer and controller, it's impossible. And we have so many desires to fulfill. They're not within our hands. Destiny is what happens to you. Free will is how you react. Destiny is not in our hands. Destiny means Kala. Destiny means Vishnu. Destiny means the will of God. The only thing that's in our hands is our free will. So if we take shelter in our free will and we actually want the appropriate thing, which is to be a servant of God, then life is easy. So here the topmost devotee is Akantina Mukya. The chief devotee is single-minded. Is single-minded. And as Prabhupada's Vyas Puja is coming up, you know, that was his example. When he was on the boat. Now, actually, before that, he was reading a purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who said, Udasayat nikabu hiya eke haku nandana bhu shankasinantascha. It says, those who are in this path are resolute in purpose. Udasayat nikabu. Atmika, Bhuvasayat, Mika, Bhuya. Six. They're fixed, not Bhushaka. So many considerations. Once your calculation is material, which means you calculate for your own personal benefit, where you can get the most enjoyment, where you can have the most control. Once that becomes your calculation, that's called the mental plane. And it's endless. The decisions become excruciating because you're calculating always, where can I get more? And you're so concerned that this may have 2% more pleasure for me. Once you're surrendered to Krishna, the decisions become easy. Once that mind, the mental plane is there. Because then decisions, wherever you go, you can serve Krishna. So it's not so crucial. You try to make the best choice. This is where I can serve best. But actually speaking, wherever we go, we can serve Krishna. Wherever we go, we can't have the topmost sense gratification. One place is better than another. So we'll try to calculate endlessly. But any place you can have ultimate happiness and pleasure by surrendering to Krishna. Of course we try to make the sea, which is the most place that has the best facility for that. So that last verse describes single-mindedness. This is the first quality of a devotee. And Prabhupada said when he read that verse, Ubisayatni Kabuhya, A.K.A. Kuru Nandana, when he read that verse, that one should be fixed, Prabhupada was reading a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that said that this means that one should take the order of the spiritual masters, one's life and soul. And that's how one becomes fixed. Fixed in what? The will of Krishna. And where do you find the will of Krishna? In the heart of one who loves Krishna. Because when you love someone, you take their desires in your heart. That's what love means. Love means that you want to please your beloved. So whatever their desire is becomes your desire. So if you want to link up with the will of the Lord, you link up with one who represents the Lord, who loves the Lord. So you become fixed, 100% fixed in the order of the spiritual master. And that was Prabhupada's glory. And therefore, what does that mean? It means the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tara Madhye Sarva Shrestha Nama Sankirtan Nirvana Aparadi, what is it? Sorry. Tara Madhye Sarva Shrestha Tara Madhye Sarva Shrestha Nama Sankirtan Nira Aparadai Poya Paya Premadat. It's the best. How does our focus? We chant the Hare Krishna mantra. We become fixed in that, in devotional service. And after one becomes fixed, then a very wonderful thing begins to happen, because after Nishtha comes Ruchi. Because what is pleasure? Pleasure is devotion. Why are we not experiencing that pleasure? Because we're not fixed. We're not anya bilashita shunyam. We have other objectives, other motives, other desires, other considerations that we live our life rather than surrender to Krishna. Again, this does not mean renunciation. This means dedication. It doesn't mean you can't dedicate yourself fully if you have other desires. You just have to do what Krishna wants you to do with those desires. If you're fully dedicated. Therefore, Krishna doesn't want someone who has a certain desire to be a monk. Does it mean that he can't serve Krishna? Purely no. Krishna will just tell you how those desires can be dedicated to Krishna. So bhakti is not renunciation. So when one dedicates himself fully to Krishna because he's been touched by part of the pure devotee and therefore wants to dedicate his life and serve that pure devotee, not in the mode of ignorance so that you can be better than other people and feel better than other people and hate other people who are not in your allegiance, not in the mode of passion, so you can do so much service to the spiritual master, so you can get a big name and a big position. Not even in the mode of goodness, so that you can serve and become liberated from all your desires. But pure service. You serve because you love Krishna. You serve because you want to love Krishna. So when one has that surrender and becomes fixed, then ruchi comes. One gets real taste. And then when one gets real taste, then very quickly that taste matures until it is so powerful that even if the mind wanders, the love of Krishna will just pull the mind back automatically. It's so natural. It's just flowing. It's just like when someone has true humility, when someone has true humility and he's experienced that loving dependence on Krishna, that full acceptance that I am part of something that's greater than myself. And feeling love for one who is one's maintainer of one's physical, mental, and more important, loving needs to have a worthy object of love. One can act. When you have that kind of feeling and you finally become satisfied, I am satisfied with what I am, which is not the enjoyer and controller, but the servant of Krishna. And when one becomes satisfied like that, when one becomes satisfied like that, completely satisfied in heart that I am the servant of Krishna, then when that ego arises, a disturbance when one does not get the praise one wants, a disturbance when one is criticized in a way that one doesn't want, an ambition to have some power and respect, whenever that anything manifests from that false egotistical position, then immediately the natural swell of that devotion and loving dependence immediately subdues it. So in the same way, when one's devotion, this ekantina bhakti, this one-pointed devotion, becomes very, very fixed and one-pointed, then whenever the mind wanders away, immediately it's pulled back. And when one's devotion becomes so concentrated, and the voice in the heart to serve Krishna becomes so magnified and becomes so deep, then Krishna begins to trust that the devotee can have his loving potency. Because it's Sudulabha. Bhava is very, very rare. And Bhava is very rare because that energy, which is the essence of the bliss potency of Krishna, that energy can control Krishna. So that energy is not given very easily. That energy is given to only to one who has that exclusive desire to serve Krishna. And only when God is completely convinced by the devotee's desire and the expression of that desire in the devotee's desire to serve. And we can see it who has that spark. And we can envision how Krishna is looking at them and seeing their exclusive devotion. and reciprocates with them by finally saying, yes, I can trust you with the essence of my bliss potency. Because you'll shine that energy which controls me, because I am attached to that love. I will put it in your heart. So here those such devotees are now going to be described by Narada Muni in this verse. And they have what's called Sattvika Bhavas. Sattvika Bhavas mean they become so inspired in Krishna's service by seeing objects of devotion. They become so inspired that they have so many impressions in their mind to love Krishna. Their heart is melted with these impressions to love Krishna, that when they see any object or act of devotion, they become so inspired that immediately that object and its potency of devotion immediately touches their soul. It's not a mental thing anymore. First it goes to the mind, and it's very, very powerful. And that shakti of that object of devotion is very powerful. And it vibrates the mind, affects the mind in such a high degree that the mind somehow or other dislodges the life airs, the prana. I don't think the prana is the oxygen. I think it's the subtle energy that connects the soul to the body. And that energy becomes vibrated. And then it contacts within the body the primordial, fundamental elements that make up the body, which means earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And when it contacts the various elements, there becomes a reaction. When it contacts the water element, a person cries uncontrollably. When it contacts the earth element, a person becomes stunned. When it contacts the air element, the hairs on the body begin to stand on end. So, this is what happens. And these devotees who Lapamana Parashpana may converse among themselves, because when you have this kind of love based on that experience of Krishna, then that love is manifest in the desire to talk about Krishna. And you begin to converse with others about Krishna, which increases your ecstasy. Because bhakti sanjayate bhakti. So you begin to talk about Krishna, and you do kirtan with other devotees. Matchita, matkita, prana. The mind, matchita, matkita, prana. One's very life. Bodhiyantas parasparam. Same. Bodhiyantas, that conversing with one another's. This is a Vaishnav society. This is the object of discussion. And this is the cause of those kind of senses, is the katha and discussions of Krishna. And such people purified Kulani, their communities. They purify their communities. Prithivim, even the world. Prithivichi achi yati adigram.
One second, I'll be right back once the one of the answer.
So Prabhupada has a very, very nice purport, I think it's in the fourth canto, where generally we tend to think of preaching as the one of the causes of us becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. We preach, and preaching and sharing with others in whatever way we do it, then we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And by that absorption, we advance in Krishna consciousness. The Prabhupada says that when one becomes advanced by spiritual impetus, one will want to share this with others. And that's basically the way things work. First, you do kirtan as a sadhana, as the practice to achieve a goal of love of Godhead. And when you attain love of Godhead, then as a anubhav, then as a result of the love of Godhead, then kirtan manifests. Main activity in the spiritual world is kirtan, and kirtan also means singing, it means japa, it means hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, it means, you know, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. So when one becomes advanced, he begins to converse. And then what happens is Kulani, his community is benedicted. The most important thing in any community is a person is Krishna conscious. One of the most important things for spreading Krishna conscious is that people become Krishna conscious. It means they actually develop a love for Krishna. And therefore, they develop a love to talk about Krishna. That's how one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, by the association of such people. In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, the first chapter, it discusses how the process of bhakti will purify one through all the stages. And then it comes to dara, jastamo, bhava, kamalabha. And then you get free from the modes, and then you become so enlivened. And it says that, the conclusion. It describes that the absolute ultimate good is devotional service. And the conclusion was, therefore, one must chant, hear, worship, and remember Krishna everywhere. So the commentators say if someone at the beginning of the Bhagavatam hears this verse, they may become discouraged. How can I do this? And they say, therefore, the next verse by Sukha Goswami clears up that doubt. Shushushro Shripatana Sya Vasudeva Kataluchi Syat Mahaksevana Vipra Punya Tirthana Shavana. Shushushro Shripatana Sya Vasudeva Kataluchi. Why how? Shushushu, Shradatanasya, Vasudeva, Katarasi, Satma. You associate with the saints. And what are the saints doing? Vasudeva Kataruchi, they're relishing Krishna consciousness. So it's described that Prabhupada said service to the great souls, because when you serve the great souls, you begin to watch them, because you can't serve someone unless you try to find out what they want. If you legitimately want to serve someone, you have to enter into their heart. You have to some extent, understand how that person thinks and desires. Well, if you look in the heart of such a person, he's only thinking and desiring to serve Krishna. So by that type of association, one becomes purified and begins to desire to serve Krishna. The symptoms of ecstasy should not be imitated, but it is not wrong to aspire to experience them. In the Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami encourages us to develop a spontaneous attachment to serving the Lord without any desire or profit. Srila Prabhupada writes, in other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and one should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolium. And such tears are the price for the highest perfection. So here, it shouldn't be imitated, but at the same time, it's the goal. And Prabhupada says we should learn it. We should learn that this is the goal, and we should hear about the goal, so that we want the goals. Prabhupada said, learn this small technique. Prabhupada said we should chant the holy name as a child crying for his mother. Prabhupada said, learn this technique. Srila Gaura Govinda Swami said he was going to open up in Orissa a crying school. We should learn this technique. We should reflect within our inner consciousness. We should see honestly what is our level of desire, what is the voice in our heart to serve Krishna. And then we should meditate that we want that to increase more and more. And therefore we should begin to cry for that. The desire for a desire becomes that desire. If you desire to become like a person, then you become like a person. Just at that desire. The absence of warm and spontaneous feelings to the Lord may indicate that we are still committing more of the 10 offenses against the holy name, or that we are indulging in some of the vices mentioned in the Narada Bhakti Sutra. As Lord Chaitanya, taking the role of a neophyte, laments in his Shikshastika 2, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. So now here's the thing. Why don't we get this? Because of offenses. And how do you protect yourself against offenses? By cultivating the humble mood. We cultivate the humble mood by putting ourselves in a position of service and by accepting an authority greater than our own. Just like, again, it's such a nice example of the hand. It's accepting the body as an authority greater than our own. Accepting the body is the controller. I am the servant or the control. So we cultivate that humility. And if we cultivate that humility, it says just as the eyes are very sensitive to any piece of dust, and how the eyelids protect the eyes simile, this tender bhakti kripa, which is the intense mood to serve Krishna, to be a servant, which can be so sidetracked by any little bit of ambition or desire for prestige. It can be so sidetracked. And that can swell. It can swell and it consume one. The desire for respect, the desire for distinction, the desire for prestige. Different circumstances can allure one so strongly, even though one knows better, into that consciousness. So what protects us from that? It's like the eyelid protects the eye from the dust. Humility protects the bhakti and the desire from the desires for prestige and admiration and distinction. Although the bodily transformations of ecstasy of love of Godhead are sometimes exhibited by great souls, pretenders may imitate them. Real bhava, however, is manifest by steady symptoms. So even though they're the highest symptoms, it's a consciousness. The form of those symptoms can be imitated. We see that in India all the time. Someone will begin to cry and roll on the ground. They'll imitate those symptoms. So then how do you have a standard to actually determine if someone is that devotee or not? Well, the symptoms of bhava given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are internal things that can't be imitated. Or activities that can't be imitated. For example, avyartha kali from utilization of every moment in devotional service. That's bhava. Every moment in devotional service. Nam, gane, sadaruchi, eagerness to glorifying the Lord constantly. So Vishwanath says these can't be imitated. The influence of pure devotees, the Lord, is very great. Their conversations are entirely Krishna conscious. And that is why they purify everyone who hears them and even the place they inhabit. When bona fide devotees perform Krishna kirtan and discuss topics concerning Krishna, the Lord is personally present. Svindata, Swakata, Krishna, Punya, Shravana, Kirtana, Vidyantisto, Yudhadrani, Vidyanoti, Siddhita. Just as Prabhupada described in the second or first canto, the water Ganga purifies everything. The Hare Kata purifies everything. It's the most purifying thing. And then it ends by describing we should try to hear from such persons. And they have great influence. Even if one does not know who the devotee is, the association of the devotee will affect them. And when we actually have something special by our years and years and years of service to Prabhupada, we don't really realize sometimes how, by Prabhupada's mercy, we got to live that life of such full service. And it puts something very, very special into someone's heart. And therefore, when such people are out in the world, it has influence on other people. And I'm seeing now, you know, the Krishna conscious movement. It's real hard, I think. I sometimes think the devotees in the 20s and 30s. You know, they don't know where they're living, who they're marrying, then when they get married, working out the relationships with their husbands. You know, then the shock of childbirth and having to deal with kids and deal with another kid. And, you know, and we don't come from these societies where, you know, Varnashram society, you're born into a place, you'll die in the place. You don't have to put that energy into where am I going to live, where am I going to live, where am I going to live? Where's the right place for me? Then, who are you going to marry? You know, this person that's from the same cookie mold as you with the same taste, because they come from the same kind of culture and things. Then, what is your dharma? What is your occupation? Well, basically, you follow your parents, and you have employment automatically, because there's no unemployment in an agrarian society. It's just like, and generally you're engaged according to your nature. And then who's your guru? Well, it's usually some old sadhu in the village. So the energy, but I see a lot of times devotees, maybe they get some ashram training, they go out in the world, and they're negotiating so many things, that it's hard not to get sidetracked, it's hard not to get confused. And then when you have a society that's not stable in many, many ways and poses challenges to your faith and people disappoint you and the whole thing, it just shows the fact that people have lasted, how strong what Prabhupada put in the heart was. Because somehow or other, it seems most of the time, at least my experience, to let out. But you see, then when the devotees finally get their kids settled, then that they realize, even if they had struggles in life and struggles in the ashram or whatever it is, and maybe didn't learn all the things they could have learned, but that life of surrender and that sacrifice they made put some impressions, and the devotional experiences they had put some impressions in their hearts that were so deep that it's a very, very special thing when that person interacts in the world. And therefore, in one purport in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said, rasagraha. Rasagraha means that you should never look at someone who leaves as the same as an ordinary materialist, because they have this taste in their hearts. And I've seen it even up here. We watch the devotees that are younger go through things, and in happiness, watch how gradually some begin to mature, and then then move more towards Krishna consciousness again, even towards reaching Krishna consciousness. So, very, very, that sense in the heart, it's a very, very influential thing. Okay, anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Thank you, Govardhan.
Maharaj, wonderful class, Maharaj. I really enjoyed it today.
I don't know what I'm saying sometimes.
Wonderful.
Thank you that you're listening. And I hope your classes are going well. I'm
yes,
so
Maharaj.
Happy that you're doing those classes. Wonderful. Thank you, Govardhan. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hi, Bogyal.
You had mentioned this word. I just find it such an amusing.
What's that?
I say.
Yeah.
You had mentioned this word. I heard this word for the first time just a few days ago when I was reading the CC, and I just find it so amusing. And then you said it again today. It's this
what word?
Shushu. Yeah, where is that?
That's in the first canto, second chapter, one of the first, I don't know, 10, 15, somewhere between verses 10 and 20, maybe 16, 1, 2,
okay.
16. And there's
so
commentary
one,
on it by Jiva Goswami that I read.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, a very nice commentary, he says, how when you serve someone, you begin to observe them, and then you become attracted to them. And then you want to be like them, and then you start seeing what they're doing. What they're doing is always discussing this Hari Katha.
Yeah.
We'll see you this weekend sometime, Gail. You're coming to the Lotus
Festival.
See
you on yes, I'm hoping to be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to speak on Tuesday also.
Oh, my God. I'm going to miss that. Oh,
why?
I'm going to be with my sister in the West Coast.
Okay.
I'll have to get it on the internet. Oh, I knew that would happen.
Okay.
I knew what to do.
Okay, well, thank you, Gail.
Okay.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Run Shikalpa through Bishakapas and the Abhijapa.